This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am, joined once more by my AI-enabled co-host. Hello, Jon.
Sorry, I don't understand that. Can you rephrase, please? Yeah, I was trying to remember what ChatGPT normally says when you can't understand it, but I haven't used the thing enough, to be honest. I've played around with it. I got it on my PC here to just see what it does, but it's a toy. It's a silly toy.
Like all toys, they can be quite amusing at times.
Yes. Oh, yes. I've got a couple of examples screenshotted that I often show in my presentations on why LLMs are
problematic.
Funny.
Fair enough. Well, we are back to our analysis. Irregularly scheduled programming, maybe. we're continuing our sort of discussion around some of the reasons why AI projects maybe go a little bit off the rails and don't end up delivering perhaps exactly what was promised. Again, inspired by this RAND report, but you know, we have our own thoughts on some of these topics, and I think we can probably just dive straight in to the next one, which is apparently overconfidence in artificial intelligence and people having inflated expectations of what AI is capable of.
But how can expectations be inflated when AI can do everything? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think that's clearly part of the problem.
I mean, what, me not understanding?
Well, when you see, to me, like, this is very endemic of the situation that we're in right now, where we're right in this maelstrom of AI hype, and it's only getting stronger. You've got this mixture of, first of all, there are some frankly amazing things that you know, AI is now capable of doing, generative AI especially, that were, you know, unheard of 2-3 years ago now. Things like the image creation, video creation, even now is honestly, like, blows my mind. It still to this day blows my mind, and I think it's awesome. So, you know, things like that, I think, lead people into a false sense of security that, well, if this is possible, then surely everything must be possible. And it doesn't really quite work like that.
It's very obvious that the great vendors, creators of all these models, are focusing on artistic things like drawings, videos, things like that. And I think that's intentional, because by definition, art is not precisely defined. It is it's interpreted. If I see a visual, I will see a nice picture. If I look at the Mona Lisa, I don't see a photograph of a woman. I see a representation with flaws, which I might see as flaws, but it's just a representation of things. And that's what AI is good at representing things in a fairly good thing. And yeah, fingers doesn't work. But if you don't really focus on those hands, it's a nice picture. So it's very easy to forget the attention to details when you're looking at things like that, because the details in art, or let me say differently, the traditional details aren't important in art. The details around color, conception, position of things are important. But the fact that it has 3 or 4 fingers, to be honest, if I watch The Simpsons, they don't have 5 fingers. I've never complained. So, and that's, I think, intentional why they really go that for. And when the biggest non-artistic one, but conversational one demo that I remember was the Google Gemini launch, which was totally staged and faked and didn't work at all. They're staying away from that. But you're right. By people looking at, look what AI can do, it's a lack of understanding.
Yeah. But you actually brought up the next point, which I think is also a strong one, is that frankly, people are being dishonest, and there are things being done that there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors being injected into certain situations. And yes, it was very public that a whole bunch of stuff was staged, for example, on that Google Gemini launch. But like, they're not the first people to have, you know, fudged a bit of trickery into what AI is capable of. And while many people will have seen the follow-ups about, oh, you know, actually turns out this was staged and all that sort of thing, there are a lot of people that haven't. There are a lot of people who just, you know, skim over things like this, see the big reveal and go, wow, this is amazing, and then, you know, don't look into anything further beyond that. And I think that's another huge kind of challenge for this space, when you do need to do a lot of you can't take anything like this at face value. You really need to do a lot more. Yeah, a lot more due diligence, a lot more research, a lot more analysis of your own. And that should be something that is, you know, a natural part of things. But we're also in this space that is moving so quickly, and people don't want to be left behind. And therefore, I think in some cases, are kind of diving into these things with perhaps not enough due diligence and analysis as they maybe should do.
Yeah, and that's partly due to the media and partly due to the, let's call them vendors, creators altogether.
Yep. Because,
I mean, the media, just a bit of a tangent, which we never do here in the podcast, is getting a lot worse as well, right? I mean, it's so populist, it's fed by troll armies. And things like the Gemini launch were everywhere. The rectification, if I can call it that, was in the tech media, but not much broader than that. And yeah, most people that are making decisions on adopting artificial intelligence for certain things aren't technical people. We'll talk about that more in the coming episodes, I think. But that's just a problem. And as we mentioned last time, for the technical people, they're just happy they can play with this stuff. And if the boss gives them the money for it, they're not going to tell them it's not going to be what it is. Now, you use the word disingenuous or dishonest or lie or something like that. I mean, it's just they're exaggerating. They're not full out lying. I mean, if you compare it with what politicians do, there's a huge chasm between the untruths told by politicians and what artificial intelligence proponents are doing at the moment. So it could be way, way worse. But it's definitely a problem. And the whole thing about due diligence, we've booked it up several times within the podcast, depending on anything, basically, what software, what games you play, what kind of bread you buy. Marketing is a business. Marketing is not meant to inform you. Marketing is meant to sell the product. And people have, I don't know, we've given up? I don't know.
I mean, I think there's another angle on this, which is just because something is successful in one particular area, one particular use case, one particular type of perspective, that doesn't necessarily mean it will be successful in other areas, other use cases, other related situations. And I think that part of the challenge is that for the layperson, it's quite difficult to understand, oh, they're showing me this thing, it's particularly good at this, will it also be particularly good at this other thing? And going back to your point, like the vendors / creators / whatever you want to talk, however you want to categorize them, are more often than not saying, yes, it can do all of these things.
Well, they're not saying no.
Yeah, they're not saying no, it'll be terrible at that, please don't try. Because everyone seems to be sort of caught up in the hype train themselves and continuing this, perpetuating the myth that this can achieve everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you dare say that it's all humbug, people will get mad at you. But again, it came up, and we're talking more about Gen AI specifically things from the last couple of years, while the article we're talking about is actually talking about artificial intelligence in general. Mm. But I think it's not a bad thing that we do this, because the old style artificial intelligence, like if I call it that, was in a very niche data scientist corner, while Gen AI kind of everybody's attached to it now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I forgot what I was going to say now, so pick it up.
Yeah. I mean, and the other point, which actually the article mentions, is mentioning the fact that there's this expectation around kind of repeatability, consistency. You before have talked about things like the sort of the predictability and the explainability being important in many different use cases, many different situations. And that's not really something you can necessarily get from this. Like, there is a high degree of, going back to what you very first said about like interpretation, sort of randomness almost, and you're not necessarily going to get the same thing every time you ask, depending on what the particular system is, and depending on what it is that you're trying to achieve, that may or may not be suitable. And if it's not suitable, this may not be the right technology for you, or you may need to refine exactly how it is that you're getting your answers.
Yeah, I've been making some notes while we're talking there, because I'm going to put in the real technical words now. Mm-hmm. So not getting the same answer again, that's called non-deterministic. And that's kind of the characteristic of a neural network. And all of these artificial intelligence things, definitely Gen AI, are based on neural networks. Neural networks means put coin in, something comes out, you have no idea what happens in there, and that's by design. The whole idea is, if I could know what's happening there, I wouldn't need a neural network. I could make a normal classification regression random forest algorithm, which is also part of AI. But that non-determinism is a problem also, because it kind of makes it impossible to score a model. Because, I mean, in my day job as well, I need to flog this AI stuff. I try to do it ethically, let's call it that. But I often get a question, okay, good, we're going to do this thing. What model should we use? Should we use ChatGPT? Should we use Gemini, Mistral? Which one is the best? Well, considering you can't write a benchmark that will return the same value every single time, it's impossible to benchmark or score these things. Mm. I mean, the closest I think we got at the moment is a Twitter account where it's kind of a chatbot. And that one kind of comes up with thumbs up, thumb down scores on the different models or something like that. Mm. But that's very anecdotal, very cultural specific. Mm. And that's a big problem for these models. And if these models are being used in legislation, medical decision making, things like that, that's so scary.
Mm.
And yeah. The other thing that I forgot to talk about before, I lost my train of thought there, is the idea that it doesn't work. If it works here, it should also work there. That's the idea between being in domain and out of domain. Mm-hmm. This is something that's often labeled, and a lot of people who in domain, whatever. It's a very important concept, because these neural models, and even the not neural models, but the regression, classification, whatever algorithms, are trained on data. And the data comes from a certain source, and that's kind of your domain. That's the domain that the model was trained upon. If you have a lot of legal documents, you have a model that works perfectly in the legalese and doing that kind of stuff, because that is a domain you're trained in. And it's very hard to make a model that is multi-domain. And you can also see this, because in the new Gen AI models, the ChatGPT 4.0 is the, or to change the name, not to OpenAI model, they change the name, I forget it. But those are no longer single models. It's not the multimodal. That's something else again, because multimodal means you can interact with it with text, visuals, and audio, for example. Multimodal means that when a question comes in, it goes to one model, then it goes to a logic model to see if 1 + 1 = 2, then it goes to another model, and so on. And that's because each of these models have their domains. And the broader the domain, the worse the model gets in general. The stricter the domain, the better the model performs in that domain. But that domain gets more narrow. So putting multiple models, multiple domains connecting, but that makes it again very, very unpredictable on how it's going to react things. And just being expecting to do a cut and paste because it works at company XYZ, it might work. And that's basically what I tell my customers. When you want to do this stuff, expect iterative approach here. You will deploy this, see how it works, do crowdsourcing of reactions, have the thumbs up, thumbs down, because it's kind of the only thing you can do these days, and see how it works. And then do A-B testing, test with another model. Financially, of course, some models are more expensive than the other ones, so that's also a reason. Some are free to download, some you have to pay for, some have a free and a paid for version, which is small and large. There's so many different variables there. And just saying, we have a problem, oh, let's put artificial intelligence on top of it. Yeah. Good luck.
Indeed. Well, anything else on your side in terms of the overconfidence in artificial intelligence's ability to solve these problems?
No, I've decided not to talk about my efforts to replace you with AI, and then, well, you're still here, so that should say enough.
Indeed.
All right. With that, then, this is all the time we have for today. You can become a patron. You can support a little podcast by giving us a little money every month. It does help us keep this in the air, and we think you like it. We like it, so tell us how much you like us. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, hit notification bells, and watch us there in full vision moving around. And you can go to our website at www.roaringoff.org. There's links there to the Patreon page, YouTube page, and more information on podcast. And you can also send your feedback by email to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is, when is Dave V3 ready again? Jon?
And my name is Underconfident in AI Dave.
Yep, I get that. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
See you then.
Goodbye.